Praise, praise, bless. Good morning, SB. Good morning also those who are listening online. Praise God for this morning. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for this day. We thank you for calling us, O God, in this early day to start with really yearning unto you and listening of your voice and receiving your word of truth. Thank you, O God, for manifesting the power of your word today in our life as we go about the whole day and the whole week and the rest of our life. Thank you, Father God, for making your word to be the light and the lamp of our feet, O Lord. And we bless you. We let the Holy Spirit, we ask the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us today, revealing you to us through your words, through the feast that we are studying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you for joining us today. It's been 2 weeks since we rest about teaching and understanding the seven feasts of the Lord. And by the grace of God, we are going to continue now on understanding and learning about the feast of the Lord that is given to the Israelites, which is also, there's a significant truth that God are pointing to this feast for the church of God or to the believers. The last part that we have studied is the Feast of the Trumpets, which is, you know, started, God are given them to observe this in the seventh month, on the first day of the seventh month of the Jewish calendar, which is falls sometimes in September and October. And this year, they're going to celebrate on September 22, the Feast of Atonement. So let me repeat that the day the Feast of Atonement in Israel, they're going to celebrate it in September, I think in September 22. So we are going to learn today is about the Feast of Atonement. Now, we have learned the last time about the Feast of the Trumpets, which is we understood that this is the beginning of the 10 days of consecrations and repentance before God. If you have to notice that the feast, there are three feasts in 1 month, which is in the seventh month of the Jewish calendar. The Feast of the Trumpets, the Feast of Atonements, and the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Sukkot, or Tabernacles. So there are three feasts that falls in 1 month, which is in the seventh month, which is this three feasts is about to be fulfilled in the second coming of Christ with his fall on the autumn and fall festival. We have learned the spring festival, the four feasts, is already fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ in his first coming here on earth. But that remaining three festival, which is fall in fall or autumn festival, is going to be fulfilled in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We understood and we learned that the Feast of the Trumpets is also called Rosh Hashanah, which is also the celebration of the new year of the Jewish people. You know, church, the celebration of their new year is not start from the first month of the year, which as the Gregorian calendar following the first month of the year is our new year. But in the Jewish calendar, their new year is on the seventh month of the Jewish calendar, which is they also started in the blowing of trumpets, which started the Feast of the Trumpet on the first day of the seventh month. Now, we have learned the historical significance, which is the first is the Jewish New Year. And at the same time, this Feast of the Trumpets commemorated and started with the blowing of trumpets, which is we have learned that there are different kinds of pattern and signals, which has a different kind of significant meaning of each trumpets or pattern when they blow during the Feast of the Trumpets. And the spiritual parallelism of fulfillment of this Feast of the Trumpet is the rapture or the resurrection or the awakening of the saints. First, those who are dead in Christ, and then second is the is still alive in Christ, which is to be when the blast of the trumpet, they will be awakened, they will be raptured, and will be caught up in heaven. This is the future to be fulfilled, this feast of the trumpet. And those references can be found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, which read, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so will be the Lord. And so we will be with the Lord forever." And also written in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 52, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." So this is what is the fulfillment soon to be fulfilled in the coming of Christ, second coming of Christ, the feast of the trumpet. And the personal significance to all we who believe and have faith in Christ is watchfulness and warfare. But we know that in the end times there will be an increase of wickedness. And we also mentioned before that the end times started when the Lord Jesus came onto the earth, and we are on the end time part. That wickedness, said in Matthew 24, will increase. That's why all the Christians should be watchful and always in war with the evil and the wicked one. It is also the living in view of his imminent return, that all the church, that all the believers of Christ should be expectant and living, that always waiting that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ again, and being watchful and ready. So that is the Feast of the Trumpets that we studied two weeks ago. Now, today, we are going to continue by looking on the Feast of Atonement. What is this Feast of Atonement? What is the historical significance? What is the fulfillment spiritually? And what is the significance to us today? Now, the Feast of the Trumpet starts from the first day of the seventh month. And before the Feast of Atonement, there are 10 days gap. Because the Feast of Atonement celebrated on the 10th day of the seventh month of Tishri. Is this a Jewish calendar? Now, between celebration of the Feast of the Trumpet and before the celebration of the Feast of the Atonement, there are 7 days, because sometimes the Jewish people, nation, celebrated the Feast of the Trumpet 2 days, first and second days, and then from the third to the ninth day before the Atonement Day. This is the solemn and very silent devotion that the people of Israel, this is the day of repentance and humbleness. This is the day of reflection and coming back to the Lord. The seventh day between the Feast of the Trumpet celebration and the Feast of Atonement, this is, they call the days of awe. Or sometimes they call it the day Daniel 70 week, or the days of wrath, or the time of Jacob's trouble. This celebration of this feast is so different from the five feasts that we have studied. This is a very solemn and very serious. It's the seriousness is so different compared to the other feasts that we studied. This was the day when the entire year's sins for the whole nations were atoned, meaning to cover through the blood of sacrifice. It was the day that revolves around the high priest. This is once in a year. This is the work of the high priest and the two goats and face-to-face meeting with God. The Jewish name of this day is Yom Kippur, which means day of covering and ransom. Sometimes they call this feast is a Yom Kippur. Y-O-M-K-I-P-P-U-R, Yom Kippur, which also means a day of covering and or ransom. Now, in this day, Jewish celebration or Jewish observance, on that seventh day, all the priests, they are hiding. They are consecrating themselves so that they will not be defiled or get into sin, because on the Day of Atonement, they are going to serve in the temple for this so solemn and so serious days of celebration, which is on the Day of Atonement. Now, what are the biblical commands concerning the Day of Atonement? That we could find it in Leviticus chapter 3, verse 26 to 32. Let me read. The Lord said to Moses, "The tenth day of this seventh month is the Day of Atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves and present an offering made to the Lord by fire. Do no work on that day, because it is the Day of Atonement. When atonement is made for you before the Lord your God, anyone who does not deny himself on that day must be cut off from his people. I will destroy from among his people anyone who does any work on that day. You shall do no work at all. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generation to come. Wherever you live, it is a Sabbath of rest for you, and you must deny yourself from the evening of the ninth day of the month until the following evening. You are to observe your Sabbath." If we notice, the scripture mentioned three times to deny yourself. We can see the seriousness of this, this observance of this feast. Because if you did not follow what is instructed during the feast, you can even be put to death. That's why this is the day for devoting themselves entirely for the seriousness of the event. Now, we can find how they celebrated this feast in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 1 to 10. Let me read. "The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of two sons of Aaron who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain, in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die, because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. This is how Aaron is to enter the sanctuary area, with a young bull for a sin offering and the ram for the burnt offerings. He is to put the sacred linen tunic with linen undergarment next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put on the linen turban. These are the sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull of his sin for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them to the Lord. At the entrance of the tent meeting, he is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lots fall to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as a scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord as to be used for making atonement by sending it in the desert as a scapegoat." Now, there are several important points in the passage that we have read in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 1 to 10. Firstly, is entrance into the Holy of Holies. This is only limited to one person and can only enter once every 1 year. And it is only by the high priest. Even if he is a high priest, he cannot just enter whenever he wanted to go inside the Holy of Holies, then or else he can surely die. Just like what the sons of Aaron had been done, they entered the Holy of Holies and then they died. Now, to keep you up some picture, since I don't have any image, just like, let's imagine that this part, this is the Holy of Holies, and this there's a curtain on it. And that part, this is the holy place, and that foyer is the outer court. This holy place and the Holy of Holies, this is what we call the tent of meeting. There is a gate on the tent of meeting going enter the holy place, and then there is a curtain going to the inner or the Holy of Holies, wherein there is the big cherubim covering their wings with the Ark of the Covenant. That is what you can find inside the Holy of Holies. For us to have some understanding. The outer court, because during the time in the wilderness, they cannot build a temple. They can only build a portable temple, which is called tent or meeting, or sometimes they call it tabernacle. Okay? So there's they do all the burnt offering outside the outer court, and then the sprinkling of the blood is the holy place, and sometimes in the Holy of Holies. There are a sprinkling, a purification in the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Now, we see that there's only one priest that can enter once in every year, and specifically in the Day of Atonement and the first day of the seventh month. Second is could only come in a year of atonement, and he has to wear a special garment which is being given by God, and he has to sacrifice first for his own sin offering and his household before he can enter into service to the Holy of Holies. Third is the two goats mentioned, representing for the sins of the people of Israel, wherein they were going to cast lots with these two goats, what is for the Lord's, to be killed and to be offered, and what is the live goats to be put on all the sin of the Israel, the entire whole year sin of Israel, and then it will be released on the wilderness. So let's look on the two goats in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 15 to 22. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people, and take his blood behind the curtain, which is the Holy of Holies, and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it. And this way he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness and the rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. So the first goat, Aaron will slaughter, kill it, get the blood, and sprinkle it, going into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle it. And then, in this way, he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness of the rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanness. No one is to be in the tent of meeting from the time of Aaron goes in the atonement at the most holy place. So meaning, no one in the holy place, in the Holy of Holies, they are all in the outer court, waiting, solemnly praying while Aaron is doing the sacrifice of the goats for the sprinkling of blood in the Holy of Holies. Then he shall come out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. He shall take some of the bull's blood and some of the goat's blood and put it on the horns of the altar. He shall sprinkle some of the blood in on it with its fingers 7 times to cleanse it and to consecrate it from the uncleanness of the Israelites. When Aaron had finished making atonement of the most holy place, the tent of meeting, the altar shall be forward the live goat. Then after the sacrifice of the first goat had been killed, now goes to the second live goat. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the heads of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all the sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release in the desert. Now we saw that the first goat, first is they have to cast lots. What is the goat's fall into the Lord, which is to be killed and sacrificed and sprinkle the blood. And the other one is the goat will be that the priest Aaron, the high priest, will lay hands on the head. And he will going to confess the whole year's sins of the whole nation of Israel to be put on the head of that goat. I don't know how Aaron will do that how long he's going to confess all the sins of the nation of Israel and to be put on the head of the goat. Now, after that, what they call a scapegoat, after Aaron confessed and lay hands this goat and give all the sins, he's going to give to another priest waiting on the front of the tent of meeting, or on the outer, that one out holy place, and the tent of meeting, and he's going to get that goat, live goat, and he's going to lead, going to the wilderness, and then he's going to free the goat in the wilderness. That signifies that the sin of the Israel, of the nation of Israel, had been taken away from them. Now, this is one also interesting, that the practice of what the Jewish people are doing is, before that, they're going to tie a scarlet rod on the gate of the tent of meeting at the same time for the scapegoat. So they tie a scarlet rod on the tent gate and the scapegoat. And then when the priest led this scapegoat on the wilderness, miraculously, this scarlet rod turns to white. And that means that the sacrifice that they have made had been received by the Lord, our God. So that's the significance of this, the history significance in this Feast of Atonement that I'm observing. Now, the messianic fulfillment of this Feast of Atonement in the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, both being the high priest and both being the two goats, Jesus our Lord have fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled both goats, and the goats for the Lord Jesus had to be sacrificed for the sins of the people. Jesus, as the blood from this goat, just as the blood from this goat was used to cleanse the holy place, so it was Jesus' blood that cleansed the heavenly sanctuary. It is not now about the blood of the goat, but it is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleansed the heavenly sanctuary. Now in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7 to 14, but only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered himself, and for the sins of the people had committed in ignorance. When Christ came as a high priest of the good things that are already here, he went to the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? In this passage, in these scriptures, we see and we read that both being the high priest and being the goats, the two goats, Jesus Christ fulfilled by offering himself and through his blood, being the sacrifice and being the one who is the scapegoat. Let's see before later on why he became a scapegoat. Now, the earthly tabernacle that the people of Israelites are building every time they move and settle in one place, or the temple, was modeled in the heavenly sanctuary. Just like what it said in Hebrews chapter number 7. Jesus had to enter with it, this by his own blood. It is this blood that takes away all sins and gives believers in him the confidence to enter into the presence of God. The second goat or the scapegoat shows Jesus was the one who had all the sins of people transferred unto him. And just as those sins were sent away with the sending out the scapegoat, so Jesus has taken them away completely, never seen or addressed again. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24 said, he himself bore our sin in his body on the cross. John 1:29 said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And 1 John 3:5 said that, but you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. Jesus fulfilled in his first coming being the chief high priest and being the goat sacrifice for the Lord for the sin offering and the scapegoat during taking away the sin of the Israelite of all the whole world. But there's also another fulfillment in the second coming of Christ. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 7, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierce him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. Now, even today, the people, they are Jews, they're still waiting for the Messiah, the Savior, that they miss the first coming of the Messiah of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way we see and we read that they see that the Lord is coming, that these people that they pierced and they killed the Messiah, they are crying because they miss the first coming of the Messiah of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is now the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they see and they will see that this Jesus, this the Messiah, truly is the one that they have killed and pierced. Now, The significance of the second coming of the atonement is for the saving of the remaining Jewish people. We will see that. Same thing with the I don't know if I'm going to continue. It's already 40. Still 1/4 of the message, the significance of to us today. Okay, let me just go quickly. Same as the Feast of the Trumpet, the Feast of Atonement will start with the blast of the trumpets. We learn at the Feast of the Trumpets that they started the feast with the blast of the trumpets with a certain, pattern, with a certain meaning. Feast of the Atonement also will be started with a blast of the trumpet, and they called it Great Trump or the Shofar Gadol. In the Feast of the Trumpet, we understand that the trumpet sound is the Tekiah Gedolah, which is the long one sound blast. And in this Feast of Atonement is also with the blast of the great trumpet, which is said a shofar gadol, which fulfillment this will come at the return of Jesus. There are two separate prophecies speaks of the great trumpet that will occur at the time of regather of the remaining Jews is scattered around the world, and they will be brought back to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. This trumpet, Shofar HaGadol, or the Feast of Atonement, is the saving, the gathering of the remaining Jews that is scattered around the world. I want to go in the detail of this part, but since you don't have enough time, is it okay that I will continue next week for us to really understand this shofar or this trumpet related to the Feast of Atonement, and why is it need to be fulfilled again on the second coming, and particularly to the regathering of the remaining Jewish people to be saved. Amen? Okay, let us pray, and I ask Rachel to lead us in worship. It really cannot be finished in 25 minutes. But I praise God that hopefully that we are receiving and understanding as the Spirit is teaching us and opening our spirit of understanding for this wonderful feast the Lord has given to us. And now we are studying on the Feast of Atonement. This is the meeting face to face with our Lord, our God. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be aware that these future events will prophesy and it will come to pass. Amen. Let's worship. The strive to hide. Sleep up those who are having chemotherapy and radiation and surgery. Let's sleep up for the miracles of the Lord. Pray for the faith to arise in the heart. And yeah, just let God lay hands upon them wherever they are. Let's pray and lift them up in faith. Also lift up those who are having illnesses and need the word of salvation. Pray for the faith to arise. Pray to, you know, receive the truth and the saving grace of the word of God when they hear it. Pray to send forth evangelists, missionaries, teachers, believers for them to share the word of salvation. And praying for the miracle of the healing of their illnesses as well. Let's pray. Also lift up those who are suffering infirmities. Pray for the miracles of God. Said that by His wound we were healed, claiming that the every wounds and strife in the body of Christ, every sicknesses and infirmities in our body will be healed in Christ Jesus. So let's lift up, or even you can touch the part of your body. If you are hearing this, and just agree to us in prayer and receive it by faith, the healing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray.
Also lift up those who are still infected with COVID. Pray for healing and miracle in the name of Jesus. Pray also for those who are in the frontliner, for the covering and protection with the blood of Jesus. Pray for, use them, God will use them to be an ambassador of healing and love of God. And just pray also for the covering of their family. Let's pray. So we pray for those who are looking for jobs. Pray for God's favor and opening of these jobs and works in the perfect timing of the Lord. Let's pray for them to have that faith and patience and the expectancy that God is working even in their waiting. And yeah, just pray for patience, pray for provisions, and pray for faith to continue to rise in their heart. Let's pray. Also pray for the mission focus today. Let's pray for SPBJ, for Pastor Hang Su, his family, and his congregation. Pray for SPSH, for Pastor Ricky, his family, and his congregation, ministry, and the Chongs, and the church in China. Let us lift them up. Also lift up the board. Pray for wisdom upon them, the unity and love. Pray for unity in the spirit. Pray for the voice of God continue to be led, to lead them in every decision they make. And pray also for the covering and protection for them and their family as well. By the blood of Jesus. Let's pray. Also lift up a fellowship, the Young Adults Ministry, Single Life Workshop, the Men's Ministry, Monday Lunchtime Prayer, Pure Desire, Women's Ministry, Tuesday Lunchtime Prayer, Betrayal and Beyond Support Group, and others. Let us pray that the Lord continue to manifest His power to this fellowship, to equip His church, His saints, and to bring more people into His vineyard and to His sheepfold, and more people to be reached out and to bring salvation into their life. Let us pray. Also pray for SP 2.0, our Building and Resources Manufacturer Vision Fund. Let us pray that God will continue to pour out the spirit of generosity among His people, all believers in Christ. Let's pray. So also lift up our pregnant moms in our congregation, in the community, Dayon, China, and others. Pray continually for the covering with the blood of Jesus, the baby and the mom. Pray for the good health. Pray for the joy of the mom and the dad and the father, for the great expectation of the wonderful blessing that God are giving them. Pray for the peace in their heart. And pray for, you know, the quick and painless delivery when the time comes. And even pray for your provision and covering the whole family as well. Let's pray. Let us pray. Father, we bless you. We honor you, God. Thank you, God, for sealing all the prayers, your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers, even corporate and individual prayers that we lifted up. Thank you, God, for the answered prayer, oh God, that in your perfect timing, Lord God, that you will, Lord God, answer all the prayers, for you are a God that is, who answers our prayers. according to your will, according to your richness and glories, and according to your perfect timing. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, for giving us the opportunity in studying and learning and understanding those feasts, O God. And as we continue, Lord God, on this Feast of Atonement, thank you, God, for just revealing and speaking to us, O Lord God, this truth, this event that will take place in your second coming, Lord Jesus. So we bless you, we honor you, and we glorify you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless, church. See you again tomorrow.